Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 13, 2020. My new article on LinkedIn put on a mask, for others' sake. Hospitalizations in at least 9 states have been on the rise since Memorial Day, wrote the Washington Post. And according to an Associated Press analysis, cases are rising in nearly half the states. The coronavirus isn't considerate. It doesn't care that we want to reopen our economies and go back to the life we had before. If we do not avoid contagion, it will keep returning until we do what we must. And what we must do is change our whole perspective on life in this world. This is what the virus is impelling us to do. We thought that if we found a good job and made enough money, life would smile at us. But in a world where we affect everyone so immediately, we can't afford to think only about ourselves if we want to be safe. To be safe, we have to think about everyone's safety, even more than about our own. We must wear masks not in order to avoid catching the virus, but in order to avoid infecting others with it, because we don't know who's got it and who doesn't, who is clean, and who is infected but asymptomatic. The masks we should wear and the distance we should keep are not for our own sake, but first and foremost for everyone else, to keep them healthy. Only if we think in this way will we be able to clean up the country from the virus. And as we are cleaning up the country, we will learn how to really think about others. We will learn that only when we think of others, we ourselves can be safe. If we think about our own safety, it forces us to arm ourselves with protective gear and weapons. This, in turn, creates violence and casualties. But if we focus on keeping our community and city safe, everyone will be safe, our personal safety will grow, as well, our confidence and calm will increase, and our lives will be easier and happier. It turns out that by teaching us to wear masks not for ourselves but for others, the coronavirus is teaching us to develop mutual responsibility. Contrary to the benefit of everyone else. Question: there is something in people that prevents them from revealing their dependence on one another. This is what we call egoism. What do you, as a Kabbalist, consider egoism? Answer: egoism is love for oneself, which is the opposite of love for everything else, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human elements of nature. Question: a definition of this concept is that egoism is behavior that is entirely determined by a person's desire aimed at his own benefit and advantage. Do you agree with that? Answer: here it must be added that, as a rule, this is an aspiration contrary to the interests and benefit of everyone else. That is, I do not just fulfill myself, I do it through using others. Remark, moreover, that filling leads to devastation. Answer: of course, because when a person is filled with something, he immediately comes to a feeling of emptiness and an even greater desire to be filled. Remark: in addition, our egoism is not controlled by us, but by a society that defines our values. Answer: we get egoistic aspirations from the outside either in a simple way, when we compare our wealth with what our neighbor has, or they come from above, it is not known from where. But every moment egoistic impulses arise in us, the ego develops, and we are created with a general desire to satisfy it. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 2, 2020. How can we quickly raise man for friends? Question: what needs to be done to raise man for the friends as quickly as possible? Answer: there is no need to wait for the right moment. You can constantly feel that you are in a group even if you are not physically with us, and to always think about how you can increase the connection between friends. And that's it. Make efforts so that this desire is constantly excited in you. It will pull you all the time, and you will feel that you need to do something until you begin to feel the network of connection between yourself and your friends as one whole. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Who are the Tinaim Kabbalists? Question: who are the Tinaim Kabbalists? Answer: we will not see such Kabbalists as the Tinaim and the Amoraim. They lived thousands of years ago and were great people. Each one of them was in great likeness to the Creator. For example, Rabbi Shimon, the author of the Book of Zohar, is called Tana because he belonged to the Tanaim group who were great Kabbalists. Then, what is called the decline of the generations occurred. Therefore, in our time, we are the smallest and most insignificant in comparison to them. Thanks to the fact that we can use their methodology and be connected to them through their works and the implementation of their recommendations, we can also join the general correction. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 8, 2020. Spectacles from Kabbalists. Question: usually, to calm the masses, they are given bread and circuses. The government will give bread. What spectacles can Benny Baruch give to the world? Answer: we are trying to organize around-the-clock broadcast of useful programs necessary for humanity in all possible languages. For this, we have certain capacities, people, and all kinds of templates. I hope we can do this. Every day we prepare all kinds of programs, video clips, songs, and lessons to convey to a person what, in principle, he should know about his life, his purpose, why he lives, what he meets after the death of his animal body, and what to do with his soul, with the spiritual point in it that is eternal, perfect, and does not die with the body. We must tell a person all of this. We need to help him find contact between himself, his I, and his soul so that he does not divide himself into two parts, the body and the soul, but rather, combines them into one I. We want every person to have such an opportunity. I hope we can do this. At least we will try. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020.